morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, March 1st, 2010, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. And this is Air Cascadia. Long on content, short on time. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Green scare political prisoners are still behind bars. We talked to Peter Werbe of the Fifth Estate about Marie Mason's case.
A Clackamas man is sparring with police using only his middle finger as a weapon.
And the finger is mightier than the sword, but not as mighty as the AR-15 assault rifle. Willamette Valley farmers are leading the fight against genetically modified sugar beets. Another David versus Goliath showdown.
Portland area weather today. Hazy spring light filtering through a light cloud layer and then clearing by afternoon with high about 61. And then off and on rain and showers for the rest of the week with highs in the 50s and lows in the 40s.
And first we go to regional news from around Cascadia. Willamette Valley's organic farmers are one of the state's few economic winners in these dark recessionary days. So why would anyone, organophile or faux, want to poison the well? Windborne pollen from genetically altered sugar beets is going to render organic crops worthless unless farmers can get a federal judge this week to halt the plantings nationwide. Experts and industry groups say that an injunction could jeopardize U.S. sugar supplies, about half of which come from the biotech beets planted on more than 1 million acres in 10 states stretching from Michigan to Oregon. Ah, but look around you. A visit to any mall will tell the casual observer that lack of sugar is not America's most pressing problem, and foreign markets are overwhelmingly rejecting GMOs.
It says a lot about legislators' sensitivity to voter perception when a session goes by and they keep clear of tough environmental issues. Still, green groups are happy to see some of their top priorities enacted, especially a bill to help cities reduce greenhouse gases as they grow. Also on the plus side, a 10-year extension on Oregon's longstanding moratorium on offshore drilling. But wait, there's more. The program encouraging use of alternative energy, known as the Renewable Portfolio Standard, was expanded to include plants that burn forest thinnings built before 1995. The bill had broad support from fishing groups and coastal communities, but here's the rub. The floodgates are officially open to biomass development.
Ever wonder why our forests are still disappearing at a brisk clip when the housing market is still in the tank and more newspapers are going online? The trees are crossing the seas to foreign markets is why. Simple as that. In 2009, softwood lumber exports from Oregon and Washington jumped by over 17%, totaling more than $344 million. That's $344 million board feet. Analysts say that it'll only get worse with a continuing improvement in the wood products market in 2010. The overseas trade could be the timber industry's last best hope and the death knell for Cascadia's remaining forests.
The Washington State Legislature has passed a measure that allows honorary degrees to be granted to students who were interned during World War II. The degrees may be conferred by state universities or colleges upon people who were students at those institutions in 1942 but didn't graduate because they were ordered into a camp. An honorary degree may also be requested by a representative of a deceased person who meets these conditions. Most of the Americans who were incarcerated in the camps throughout the United States during that time were of Japanese ancestry.
And on the subject of incarcerated Americans, Marie Mason is the 46-year-old mother of two, an avid community gardener, a musician, a writer, an Earth First organizer, a volunteer for the Free Herbal Healthcare Collective, and she's also a prisoner in a federal penitentiary. Joining us this morning to talk about Marie Mason's case and to bring listeners here in Cascadia up to speed on the issue is Peter Werbe. Peter is a radio talk show host at Detroit's WRAI. He is a part of the Fifth Estate, which is an extraordinary publication and website leaning towards the anarchist view of the world. Peter joins us this morning from Detroit. Good morning, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Chris, and it's WRIF.
Excuse me.
How are you today? And thank you for joining me to talk about our friend, our comrade, our colleague, Marie Mason, who who was sentenced to 22 years in prison after pleading guilty to two acts of property destruction that occurred almost a decade ago, 1999 and 2000, but it came back to bite her in 2008 after her husband turned into a snitch for reasons unknown to anyone. And she is now serving 22 years in a Minnesota federal correction institution.
Talk a little bit about the role of informants and how they contribute to this dismaying number of political prisoners that America is now holding in penitentiaries across the country.
Well, it's a little murky because, as I said, Marie Mason was married to Frank Ambrose. And they'd been called before grand juries. They'd had their fingerprints taken in the years after 2000, and they both stood very strong for some reason or other. Frank decided that he was going to become an informant for the FBI and ratted out Marie and a couple of other defendants. He went around the country wearing a wire, attempting to entrap other people into making incriminating statements. Fortunately, he didn't. He was not successful. And actually, his snitching wasn't even very successful because the prosecution asked for 5 years imprisonment. His defense asked for probation because he'd been so cooperative. But Chief U.S. District Judge Paul L. Maloney sentenced him to 9 years. It is very strange. He apparently is still willing to cooperate from prison to what he said to help the FBI penetrate the security of forest activists and animal activists.
But his motives still are unclear, and of course the connection with Marie even further complicates things. Do you want to talk a little bit, though, about Marie's current state of mind, where she is at the moment, how people can write to her and support her, and any issues that she has at the moment? Well, of course, she's got issues in the penitentiary, but...
Sure. Well, you can go to supportmariemason.org, supportmariemason.org, and most of the information, including her address, at Waseca, Minnesota, is right there. Her main problem now, for health reasons and also ethical reasons, is she's a vegan, but mostly for health reasons. She had some serious health problems that they were cured by maintenance of a vegan diet, and the administration of the prison there is not very, they don't want to give her a vegan diet, to put it simply. And so we're asking people to write the warden very nice, polite letters to say, look, this is important for the health of one of your inmates. Marie, actually, she's a musician also, and she teaches in women's prison. She teaches a guitar, and she's formed some musical groups there. And I write to her quite frequently. She calls. You can call people if you're on her list. And her spirits seem good, but I'm sure she wants to put the best face forward. I mean, it's not a dungeon where she is, but in fact, it was a community college. Who needs community colleges in America, right? We
right.
need prisons.
Exactly.
So she's there, though, for 22 years. That's the average federal sentence for murder that people like Al-Qaeda operatives who planned to attack targets in the U.S. and Europe have received 20 years. And in fact, this judge, who is a Bush appointee, he sentenced her also, as well as her husband, to above what the plea bargain was. I mean, they were talking about life in prison for her actions. That's what they were threatening her with. And they made her accept what's called the terrorism enhancement. For instance, if this was before the Patriot Act, she probably would have gotten somewhere like 5 to 7 years for the attacks that she carried out on different facilities. But after... September 11th, that sort of changed the ball game. But in any event, that's an extraordinarily draconian sentence of 22 years in prison. I mean, certainly, if one wants to deal with deterrent, 5 to 7 years would certainly deter me, and I think most people, from carrying out acts that are illegal. And also, if the idea is to be punitive, one looks to see what has happened. I mean, property destruction isn't much fun for people whose property is being destroyed. You have to look at what was going on at the property that was, in fact, being destroyed. It was usually destroying the environment, and no one was hurt at all. No one was injured in any way. So this sentence is so out of line, even with what the prosecutor wanted. In fact, the prosecutor said to the judge, you know, if you keep giving sentence is longer than what we agree to, nobody's going to plead guilty, and they want to clear cases by guilty pleas.
So what are her chances right now legally? Is there any chance of sentence reduction legally? Where is Marie at?
Well, there was an attempt at one point to appeal a sentence in terms of its severity, its length, but I don't think it's going anywhere. I think given the mood in the country, given the Patriot Act, which...
they renewed.
Yeah, our great liberal president just renewed for 1 year, that right now she could very well walk out of there. She's 46 now. She could very well walk out of there when she's 68 years old. I'm dreadful to say. And we, of course, do everything we can to support her, to see what we could do to free her. Right now, the road ahead does not look promising, unfortunately.
Any chance, this may be far-fetched, but has there been any attempt to broach the subject of a presidential pardon?
Well, that comes at the end of a term, of course, and the Republicans like to think that Obama will be a one-term president. Normally, this would not be the type of action that that a president would give a pardon on or a commutation of sentence. I mean, they're more their buddies that have tax cheats and stuff like that. But can you imagine what the right wing would say if say Obama either after 4 years or 8 years was to pardon Marie Mason, who was branded a dangerous terrorist by the government?
The country as a whole isn't that familiar with her case, and it is likely that people would, were they acquainted with the facts, be outraged at this miscarriage of justice. You are with the Fifth Estate. What kind of, this is just a final, we'd like to get some information from you on how our listeners can support Marie and how they can support the Fifth Estate and your efforts. To bring the word to people who are largely distracted and hypnotized by mainstream media. Any sort of effort made to acquaint the public with the details of the case?
Well, again, the best website is supportmariemason.org, supportmariemason.org. The Fifth Estate, which publishes, it's in its 45th year of publication. It began in the 1960s, was a weekly, now it comes out three times a year. But we're a strong publication, and we have collectives that publish it cooperatively all across the country, is fifthestate.org. And whether or not we can convince large numbers of people, I would hope so. And that's one of the efforts that we can do, at a minimum, to connect with Marie. You have to be on her list to get a reply. You can write her at the address that is at supportmariemason.org. She appreciates everything that she gets. Of course, understand that all of her letters are read, and probably the addressee is that's copied down, but I don't think there's much of a risk. I mean, I do it.
We'll talk more about this very soon. We have GreenScare people out here in Cascadia also. My guest has been Peter Werbe with the Fifth Estate and with WAR. Thank you so much again, Peter.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
And finally,
it makes sense if you want to stay awake if you might have to pull a gun. Guns and coffee just go together, right? Even in some open carry states, businesses are allowed to ban guns in their stores, and some have, creating political confrontations with gun owners. But Starbucks, the largest chain targeted, has refused to take the bait, saying it in a statement this month that it follows state and local laws and has its own safety measures in its stores. In other words, you can bring a gun to Starbucks, but if you light a cigarette, they throw you out. This has been Air Cascadia for Friday, February 28th. March 1st, 2010.
My mistake.
Engineering is Steve Nassar. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director. Chris Andre is the producer, and I'm Liam Delta.
You've been listening to news and comment from Air Cascadia on KBOO Community Radio, 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, KBOO.fm on the web. Your support, and your support only, keeps us from burning the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein, Sustainability in Selwood.
Thanks for listening, thanks for your support, and have a good day.